Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, and finally, let's have a look at the TV and films offering, our TV and film offerings for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by Donal Clark, film correspondent with the Irish Times, and culture journalist Zara Hederman. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
So, Zara, Nicola Coughlan is going back to her comedy roots in a new series on Channel 4, and people are raving about this.
Yeah, it's coming to Channel 4 next week, March 28th, and already the rave reviews for it, saying it's absolutely hilarious. And I think that comes from Nicola Coughlan and the creator, Camilla Whitehill, have been friends since drama school. So they have a really good relationship together. They also wrote a podcast together. And basically the story is Nicola Coughlan plays...
It's called Big Mood.
Big Mood, say, yes. Yeah. Nicola Coughlan plays Maggie Lydia West from It's a Sin, which was also a huge hit. She plays Eddie, and the two are navigating their friendship in their kind of early 30s. Nicola Coughlan's character has bipolar disorder, and I think in this series what happens is she kind of has a bit of a bad spell with that, and it comes to making her realise, you know, her life, her friendships, her work, and it impacts it quite a lot in different ways, and will their friendship withstand it? But as I said, it's getting huge rave reviews. It's even been praised as being kind of similar to like Lena Dunham's Girls, so definitely one to watch for sure.
Okay. I like how she's, yeah, I mean, she's really kind of broken out of Derry Girls, hasn't she? Very impressively, in Barbie, obviously. And I'm kind of intrigued by a film that she's in coming shortly on the title alone, which is a medieval comedy called Seize Them, followed by an exclamation point. So I am going to, approach.
You need to do the ads for that.
Yeah, I'm going to approach Seize Them.
I like it.
With an optimistic vein, simply because of the title, and her, of course.
Yeah, okay. Well, what, you know what I'm intrigued by, Donald? Mm. So Roadhouse on Amazon Prime. So they've remade a crap film and they've put Conor McGregor in it.
I kind of agree with your assessment. I mean, this seems to be a disease of the age, which is our films that were released to, I mean, sob the critics, you might say, but as it happens, to poor reviews and kind of so-so box office, and then became cults, and then we have to remake them. The one I always come back to, well, I come back to the last few years, is Hocus Pocus, that witchy comedy, Halloween comedy, which no one liked at the time. Now it's kind of a classic somehow, and so we have to remake it for Disney.
I loved it. I did not.
I just don't get it. Roadhouse is fine. The original film is fine. This film is actually fine as well. It is... very proud of how well made it is. So big widescreen production shot in the Dominican Republic. The Roadhouse is now this enormous structure with quite professional bar bands playing it. The plot is basically Jake Gyllenhaal is in the Patrick Swayze role. Should stress, Conor McGregor is not in the Patrick Swayze role, so you're not going to see that much of him if you want to see
him. He could do Ghosts next, then The Pottery and stuff.
That's right.
Conor McGregor could reprise all Patrick Swayze's roles.
That would be an avant-garde project for him to be involved in. The kind of thing that you might see him kind of in a video art presentation. But so anyway, he's a bouncer. You'll know the plot of this film. Jake Gyllenhaal is the bouncer.
Okay.
Comes back and there are threatening forces around. And one of those threatening forces is a hoodlum played by Conor McGregor. I imagine there will be a fair few people who will want him to fail in this because he's a controversial figure.
Well, people will be wondering what his acting is like. So we have a little clip just to satisfy curiosity.
Hey, fellas. Looks like you're having a smashing tonight. Dalton! I got a tip for you. Don't let no one get this close. Once Knox is on the job, it's over, baby.
So they had the genius idea that Conor McGregor is playing Conor McGregor.
Not far off. I mean, well, that's the important noises that you heard there were not the lines of dialogue, which he delivers perfectly competently. You can hear each word clearly. No one asks him to deliver a speech from Henry V, you know, so that he is their short burst, which he does fine.
Snobby, no, I'm sure he could if he needs.
I'm not going to say otherwise. I mean, you know, he's a big man, but he's fine. And in terms of that clip that we just played, the significant part is obviously not the dialogue, which he's fine at, but the explosions and bashes and thumps that you heard afterwards, which obviously he could do. Look,
is it a kind of enjoyable romper, you say?
It's fine, yeah. It's absolutely fine. I mean, it's perfectly well. It is too well made. They're quite proud of the fact that this beautiful, lavish production for something which maybe doesn't deserve that. And he's fine. I mean, look, he's essentially playing a combination of the Tasmanian Devil from the Warner Brothers cartoons and a kind of inside whirlwind. And he does that perfectly fine. I think he could have a career in movies just as Jean-Claude Van Damme did before him and other people who've come from that sort of world. Yeah. Maybe not quite Schwarzenegger. Maybe he hasn't got that degree of charisma that Schwarzenegger
had. Okay, but you're predicting a big future for this young man.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Print it. Okay. Zara, RTE are showing Alan Gilson's film about the late Dr. Ivor Brown on Tuesday. You think it's well worth a watch?
Absolutely. It came out in 2017 and I remember I watched this around the time it came out because I met Ivor Brown. I interviewed him for a feature, and Alan Gilson's portrait of him is very true to what he was like when I talked to him. Yeah. And it was really fascinating watching it because he's such a monster, like in stature, he was such a like monstrous person, so engaging and just so fascinating, especially his career. I mean, in the 1960s, his alternative approach to psychiatry and, you know, his position on medication, and also, you know, with his love of music and how he incorporated that into his treatment. And in the documentary, of course, we have like Tommy Tiernan, Mary Coughlan, Sebastian Barry, who were patients of his. And we do see him in a session with Mary Coughlan. And I always remember, I haven't seen this documentary since 2017, but I think about that quite a lot of just the process. It's very fascinating.
Yeah.
So well worth a watch.
It's called Meetings with Ivor, and it's on RT1 Tuesday at 11:25 p.m. and it is well worth the watch, and he is a towering figure in Irish life.
Well, I was about to say, worth mentioning how incredibly prolific Alan Gilson is. I mean, that he's had two films at the Dublin Film Festival earlier this year, including one of the United Irishmen that I thought was great, and was also actually previously the Cork Film Festival, and since then he had another film, those films were at the Cork Film Festival, and since then at the Dublin Film Festival that he has had a film on Irish unity called The Irish Question, addressing what we're all going to have to do and how we're going to pull ourselves together if United Ireland comes along.
And he has a third film in this loose trilogy as well, coming out on Donald, if people are looking to bring the kids to the cinema over the Easter holidays, is the latest Ghostbuster sequel / reboot any good for that kind of thing? No? Okay.
Do you want more?
Give me two sentences.
The problem with so many of these things is the over-serious approach that they take to films like Ghostbusters, where the films that were a bit of, I mean, you know, I'm not talking about Roadhouse here or Hocus Pocus. It's a very good, fun film, Ghostbusters, 1984. There is no need to treat it like it is Walden or treat it like it is work of Edgar Allan Poe. Okay. It's a pretty throwaway production. Yet all these sequels seem to think that we care about the lore and the nostalgia and the family legacy in this one. The last one was deep in that stuff. This is when at least they realise that these things are supposed to be fun, so they drag them away from Oklahoma where they were in the previous one, Afterlife, and bring them back to the firehouse in New York.
Okay. This is what we promised we weren't going to do.
It's completely chaotic.
Okay, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in cinemas now, if you want. Zara, Late Night with the Devil is in cinemas now as well. This sounds a little bit more sinister than Ghostbusters.
It is. It's kind of like a mix of Sidney Lumet's Network and also The Exorcist. So basically the premise is this is by two Australian brothers, Cameron and Colin Carnes. It stars David Dastmalchian as Jack Del Roy, who's this really charismatic late night talk show host in the 1970s. We get at the very opening kind of an insight into his life. He was a very charming person. He's always kind of trying to top Johnny Carson in the ratings, but his popularity is a little bit on the wane. So we come to 1977, it's Halloween night, they're doing a special. And what they've done with this horror film is they've used the very popular format of the found footage. So they have this like master tape of the episode. So you have like a parapsychologist and like her kind of teenager who's possessed. There is a medium who's talking to, you know, members of the audience's dead relatives. Now, I went into this really looking forward to it. It's something that I would really like.
It sounds great.
It sounds really great. And they do a good job of like making it seem very authentically 1970s. I will say it kind of loses the run of itself towards the end, and actually this film has come into a bit of controversy this week because it was said that to have used AI generated imagery. So the directors had to make a comment about, you know, yes, we did use AI, and obviously with the strikes last year that was a huge thing.
Okay.
So people are kind of in two minds about it. It is worth a watch for David Dastmalchian alone. He's excellent in it.
Well, maybe wait for streaming.
Exactly, yeah, it's coming
Late
to
Night
Shudder.
With the Devil. Okay. Donald, So Sydney Sweeney, I didn't know a lot about her. And then I watched Reality the other night.
Right.
And she's amazing.
She's great in it,
I watch her in anything. So does she save this nun-based horror? Immaculate?
I don't think it requires saving. I think it's just pretty damn good. But you're absolutely right.
Is it? Yeah.
We kind of got used to the fact that there are no movie stars anymore. And if there are movie stars, there are people who are in their 50s. There are people like, 60s now, Tom Cruise, people like that. They're people who can open films. So it's great to have someone like Sydney Sweeney. She's been around for a while. I mean, she's, no teenager. But over the last 2 years or so, totally broken through. And she now seems like that rarest of things, a youngish movie star who can open a movie. Though even she couldn't say Madame Web, I should say, when she was in Madame Web a few weeks back. But this is great. I mean, it sounds on the surface a bit like one of those dubious nunsploitation films from the 1970s when you had nuns getting up to all kinds of irreverent mischief behind the cloisters. It's not really that. It is a nun horror film, but there's nothing too dubious in it. The notion basically is that she arrives from the States to this Italian nunnery, and shortly after that she becomes pregnant mysteriously, despite the fact that she arrived a virgin and remained a virgin throughout. So obviously this puts up all kinds of suggestions in amongst her fellow sisters that she might be a figure of some significance in the theology. But don't worry, it descends quite quickly into bloodthirst mayhem, particularly in the last 20 minutes, which I thought was one of the most satisfactory ends to a horror film I've seen in ages. Okay. So it's great, I mean, it is total trash,
old
you might argue, but really
trash.
Top quality trash, if that is not a contradiction in terms.
It absolutely is not. Okay, that's immaculate, and that's in cinemas.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Zara, really quickly, Manhunt on Apple.
Yeah, so this is about the 12 days. It's based on James L. Swanson's book about the 12 days of trying to find John Wilkes Booth after he assassinated Abraham Lincoln. It stars Tobias Menzies, Belfast-born Anthony Boyle as John Wilkes Booth. It's a very dense programme. There's a lot of information in it, but for someone who is coming to it with maybe not knowing that John Wilkes Booth came from a very prominent acting family, there's different layers to it that are quite interesting. Monica Bilecki, who was involved in The Leftovers in Fargo, is involved. So it's worthwhile.
Okay. Donald Clark and Zara Hedeman, thank you very much. And that's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE radio app. Today's show was produced by Alan Torney. Research was by Katrina McFadden. Stephen Higgins was the broadcast coordinator, and Cara O'Hare was on sound. Stay tuned for Justin McCarthy on This Week After the News. This is Aran and Wine's new single with Fiona Apple. I love this. This is called All in Good Time.
All in good time, I gave it my best. I was alone till I found myself. Grew up to be a man, more or less. All in good time.
All in good time, I drifted away. I ran my mouth till I had nothing to say. You broke my heart, then I was okay. All in good time.
All in good time, I trusted my eyes. Treated my losses like clouds in the sky. Finally picked on some of my size. All in good time.
All in good time, I followed my nose. Learned where to bleed when a night comes to blows. Tried on your love, then I folded those clothes. All in good time.
Throw your bread to falling birds.
Buried friends and wasted words. Something wants to eat us all alive.
All in good time, my angel came back. Paid us some money, but that didn't last.
We wouldn't cry, but we couldn't laugh.
All in good time. All in good time, we felt like a star.
We closed our eyes and we opened our arms.
Ran off the road in our own stolen car. All in good time.
All in good time, and that's what it was. That cash in the mattress for love.
Dropped all our weapons and shrank from the blood. All in good time.
All in good time with nothing to prove.
We took the bait till we lost the tooth.
No one believed it, but we told the truth. All in good time.
Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.